Hello there, football fans, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Soccer Central podcast. It is November the 30th. We have a race in the Premier League by the looks of things. Is it early still? Perhaps. But as we stand right now, the week of December the 1st, and we have very few points separating a good number of teams, actually, which bodes very well for an exciting Christmas period. I am James Sharman, joined as always on Monday by Thomas Dobby and Brendan Dunlop. I say as always,
it's rare that we're actually all doing it together.
Yeah. It is rare. Yeah, I couldn't find the place this morning. It's been so long.
Yeah, where have you been? You taking care of the puppy?
Yeah. Got a new
Samson.
Oh, he is amazing.
Samsonite.
Samsonite, yeah. Well, Samson, he's a Leon Burger cross. Have to answer to everyone asks. That's great. What's hell is that?
Leon Burger, yeah.
Purebreds, they're like St. Bernard Lions, so they're big boys, but he's clearly got some shepherd retriever mix in him, so he's a bit smaller.
I've seen the pictures. He's beautiful.
Yeah, he's on the gram for those of you Instagram dog stalkers. He's Samson the Rescue, and he's perfect, buddy.
Nice.
He's perfect.
Cool.
And are you being responsible as far as his walks, daily walks?
I think so, yeah. He goes to the dog park at least 4 or 5 times a week, I'd say. Good. If not 6, maybe with this nice weather. I don't think that'll continue in the winter. But
is he a scrapper?
No, he's very gentle. There's huskies always want to have a go at him, and he probably gives them 3
huskies
strikes.
Huskies are little shites, by the way. They are. They scrap, man.
Yeah.
They pick fights with anything with 4 legs.
I forgot Freddie Mercury's name for a minute, but he had a few run-ins with the huskies?
He has a number of, and actually, there was, when we first got him, we were told that there might be part husky in Freddie Mercury.
Ah.
Right? But okay. I'm not sure about that.
I'm just laughing at your guys' conversation.
Yeah. Because this is dog the level that we are at.
But he often, he's a very docile dog. He never starts anything. Mm-hmm. But if there's a husky around, there's usually something at some point kicking off.
Did you guys get to Bed Bath & Beyond this weekend or what? Is there time?
No, but we went to Pawsway. What a place. Okay. Yeah, have you taken him down there?
A few times, yeah.
Keep in mind that I'm probably the first colleague Sherman's ever had to be able to talk with this level of enthusiasm about dogs. There's other people that have dogs, not people that have real dogs. They fit in purses or they sit in the wheel well of their coupe. That's not a dog.
No.
I need an SUV for my dog.
Yep. How's that going?
Oh, horrendous. SUV, by the way. I feel like a loser.
Get an SUV
shopping.
When's the white picket fence happening?
Oh,
eh?
Jeez. In this city?
Listen, by the way, SUVs are not the same as minivans, okay? Make that.
No.
So yeah, but for anyone who enjoys a driving experience.
Yeah, no, SUVs. I've got an SUV.
Yeah.
Right? But it's not a minivan.
But argue to me that there is some driving experience to your SUV.
There is some driving experience? As far as do I enjoy driving with it?
As in you get something out of it.
I do, very much. So you're higher up. You can look down on the scum. When in traffic jam.
That is such a Charmin answer. Oh, we test drove a Nissan Murano the other day. Great truck. Except I didn't drive it. I simply prevented it from crashing into a cement wall. There was nothing back to it. I didn't feel anything from it.
Oh, yeah. You can smash things up real good.
Oh.
You don't even feel it. It's
run through the village, eh?
All right. To the football, I suppose.
I hope you're still listening.
Yeah. That definitely got cut off.
Yeah. Leicester, they tied Manchester United 1-1 in the marquee matchup of the weekend. And yes, it was the marquee matchup of the weekend. Jamie Vardy does the unimaginable, scores in 11 straight games. He has the Premier League record. And I went off on air about this. I'm not sure if you saw it, Tom. In support of your Blades and Jimmy Gunn.
I missed it, actually. Was that after the game?
Yeah, because Craig and Jerry are celebrating. Oh, it's a great new record and stuff. And even had the board up there.
Premier League record.
Football wasn't invented in 1992.
Good.
What?
Good for you.
What do you mean it wasn't?
I know.
Good for you.
Believe it or not, it was not invented in 1992. Top flight record is the important record for me. And Sheffield United's Jimmy Dunn, back in 1931-32, I think it was.
I think so.
Scored in 12 straight games.
That, what a boy, Sharps.
Is the record.
Good man.
I agree with you. But at what point do people start saying, well, now it's the Premier League record that matters? Is it 30 years? Is it 35 years?
Everyone's saying it now. I think that's James's point. Charmin's point is that everyone's saying that now because we just assumed, it's done. And nobody thinks past 1992 when soccer or football was invented, right?
And the Premier League or the First Division was pretty much the same thing from the fan perspective as far as they were the best 20 teams or 18 teams, whatever, in England. All right?
A bit more affordable back then.
A little bit more affordable, yeah. More violence, you know, not safe grounds.
No.
And Sheffield United were in the top flight, so that's good.
For a year or two, anyway.
Yeah.
The good old days.
It just bugs me, you know, when people say, there's a new record. Jesus, people. The 80s is pretty amazing, and the 70s too, and before my time was great football as well. So let's give those guys some credit here.
Sure, but take Jimmy nothing Dunn, away.
Incredible.
From Jamie Vardy.
11 straight games, incredible.
And it's all about him. He was loving it.
Oh, I know.
I'm worried a little bit about him getting too big for his himself. You know, his ego is getting up there, I think, the way he's kind of reacting. And I don't know. I wonder about the longevity of his success, if it's going to be like that and if it's going to rub some people the wrong way and how it's going to affect him.
I hadn't really noticed it much before that. I mean, the penalty take from Mahrez, he seemed quite calm and composed. He wasn't fighting for that to take the ball away. And I thought that that showed, a bit of class. Maybe he's not so into himself. But then when he goes running off celebrating like Sid Sexero scoring at our charity event, you realize, my God, Vardy's...
I don't know. If you saw his pre- and post-match comments, it was all about the team and about him. You know, it's about, that's nice, and maybe,
in a while, I'll appreciate it. In the moment or in front of the camera?
He scored against Manchester United. I think that's more about us scoring against Manchester United. I'm sure 11 was part of it. There's pressure on him.
I've never hosted a podcast or a television show with the three of you and left saying it's all effing me.
You did it every single show.
Every single time.
Every show. Yeah. I'm sitting on this chair, on this side of the desk,
doing three effing jobs.
I see. Hey, producer, I see that James has three more on cameras than me. Can we change that? So don't give it a one-time thing.
he's actually mad about it. That's great.
I don't know. I think you're being a bit harsh on him, but as long as they keep Vardy away from casinos, I think he'll be just fine. That's been very quiet, hasn't it?
That controversy
from the off-season. Look it up if you're... not sure we're talking about a very unsavory incident at a casino featuring Jamie Vardy.
Yeah, and this is a guy that, it really is unbelievable. And I think it beat a dead horse with just, did you know he was playing non-league football and this and that and where he was 4 years ago? Yes, we totally get it. But a friend of ours, actually, JK, tweeted on the weekend, just retweeting a tweet from Leicester from June of 2013, from the actual club, saying Sheffield Wednesday is set to take Leicester City flop Jamie Vardy on a season-long loan.
Really?
Wow. So
that was
June 2013. Okay. So a year and a half, or
lost
two and a half years.
Yeah. Five goals last
the
year,
end
right?
of our Fox show.
Yeah.
Wow.
Flop. The only, team calling him a flop.
Five goals last year, but eight assists. And he did look good in Spurs last year. Remember against United, actually, that Monday. 5-3 win. It's maybe the best game of the season. And he was just incredible in that match. Mm-hmm. Like, busting his ass.
Yeah.
He's a good player, very good player. But yeah, can he maintain it? He's going to slow down eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But this team is more than Jamie Vardy, I think.
They really are
a very great self-belief, love elements. I mean, if you get a Joa firing them in, that'd be very important if he can, because when Vardy slows down, you need him to step it up.
Yeah, the start was incredible. I mean, it looked like they were going to blow them away once they scored and they kept coming at them. The crowd was obviously going nuts. I think just obviously the timing of Manchester United scoring right before half, kind of from nowhere, their first real good chance with Schweinsteiger scoring that changed it in the second half, and then they were the better team. So it was a game of two halves, just that United happened to score right before the half ended was massive for them.
But I think this is just the second Champions League team that they've faced, and Arsenal tore them to shreds the first time. So the fact to get through that first 45 minutes, they expelled a lot of energy, and I think that's what you saw in the second half, that they weren't able to keep up that pace, but they were still able to hang with United, and I thought we were going to get a winner on one side. I thought for sure United would catch them on the counter, but we didn't get that.
But United did so little, didn't they?
Mm-hmm, they did.
Were they a threat? I wasn't confident at all that they're going to score a goal. I mean, they snuck one with Schweinsteiger late in the first half, as you mentioned, but I mean, they just have nothing going forward. No creativity, no urgency.
Mm-hmm.
It's partly LVG's tactics, obviously, possible sideways until you get there. But they have players that I think they need to take risks, take gambles, right? Rooney needs that in his game. Memphis Depay needs that in his game.
Yeah.
They're just not allowed that under this system.
It really is boring at times. And I mean, I think their fans have voiced it for a good part of this season and last year, even, that it's just not the same Manchester United that they are so used to seeing, so spoiled seeing every year, with being not only successful but easy to watch.
And sure,
it's tough. You're right. They were better in the second half, but possession wise, but not really. You can't think of any chances. And even Martial came in with just such a flurry to start, and he's been quiet now for a little while.
Seven games.
Wow. He hasn't done much. Memphis is now coming off the bench. It's not really there for him. Rooney, again, was awful. I mean, he was
got subbed off,
non-existent, got subbed off. There's an injury problem there as well. But just who up front gives you any confidence that they can be a game changer right now? I mean, Jesse Lingard had a couple of games there, but this is a kid that week in, week out, you're not going to rely on. I mean, they're screaming out for some creativity and some finish up front that they don't have right now.
Don't panic. When Alex Pato shows up in January or when Diego Costa comes north, they'll be fine.
Mm. Pato's going to Anfield, apparently. That's big rumor. My God. Anyway.
See Steven Gerrard this morning?
I know, training at Melwood, eh?
There's a great picture on one of the papers of Klopp and him smiling. And it's, I have no affiliation to Liverpool, but it gave me a warm feeling.
Mm. If only Klopp had Steven Gerrard 3 years ago, he'd be the perfect Klopp player.
Oh,
perfect
boy.
Klopp player. Sad. Despite United struggles, at one point back at first place.
Yeah, and that's the
It's been a number of years since crazy been thing. That swashbuckling United. That last year they won with Fergie, they weren't great either. Don't forget that, right? So they enjoyed that period where they had these wonderful, wonderful players coming through the system. Paul Scholes, Giggs, you know who they are, right? And times change, right? So they must address that at some point. City beat Southampton 3-1. Good and bad in that match. Mm-hmm. The bad being that Kun Aguero goes off with an ankle injury. And whenever it's Kun Aguero, an ankle or really anything, really, you worry. Mm-hmm. I know Pellegrini was downplaying it, but man, it's another concern, isn't it? And Hart's out. Company, without Company, hit these stats without Company. When he plays in his 8 games, they've given up 1 goal, right? In the, I guess, the 6 games now, man. They've given up 13 goals without him.
Yeah, you could say that's a difference maker. Pretty good comeback year for him when he's been in there after being horrible last year. I mean, Southampton undid themselves early with some brutal mistakes. Yoshida gave the ball away and just can't do that. I think City, they were waiting for that game again after getting thumped by Liverpool and then losing midweek to Juventus. You could feel the tension there. And once they got that first one, they played pretty well. And I think that for all their ups and downs, here they are again, sitting at the top of the table. And I think that they're the best team overall, and they're the ones that we expect to everyone else has to challenge, right? When you're looking around every week in, week out, the other quote-unquote title contenders are the ones at the top. I think the first result they're looking at every week is probably at City, hoping that they drop points.
Sure. But you look at them now and realize the tests that they have. I think defensively, they might be deep enough with Otamendi and Mangala.
He's very good, Otamendi.
And he settled in. I shouldn't say settled in. I think every time he's kind of been out there, he's proven maybe not his price tag, but that he deserves to be in that side. He is, yeah. He's got a real edge to him.
I love them.
Yeah. He body checked someone the other day on Saturday.
But up front, they've got no comparison. And you're not going to have two strikers of Aguero's caliber, but, you know, I mean, I can't even pronounce the kid's name that's going to be getting all the minutes.
Yeah.
Nacho.
Hinacho.
Yeah, I know. And Boney's just, I don't know. If he's at this quality, at this level.
No, he's not. You know?
It's a different kind of player too, right?
Yeah, Nacho before I thought of him.
You build this team around, you know, a Kun Aguero type striker. Mm-hmm. And then you have Boney who gives you another option. But, I mean, are they used to playing that way?
No.
Just having a target man.
Hey, 5 weeks. Not. 5 weeks till they get Jamie Vardy, so it'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. De Bruyne scored and assisted. Mm. 16 assists on the calendar year, tops in Europe.
I didn't realize it was that many.
Mm-hmm. Yep, in for Wolfsburg and for the City.
Adding to Jose Mourinho's just self-doubt and depression. Eh?
Yeah, I mean, without Aguero, that it's a team that can score a bundle of goals from midfield. That's the one kind of saving grace. Obviously, they want Aguero there, and that's, you know, how their system works and how the team kind of works. But when you have guys like De Bruyne and Sterling and Silva should be back soon, and even Delph's playing well now, isn't he?
He's finally
got in the team now, I think.
Yeah.
Healthy.
He's only had a couple of stars. I think that might have even been his first start.
I think it was his first, yeah.
Which he's been coming on as a sub, but the crowd's liking him. The fans are liking him. He's fitting into the team, and he might finally get a chance to put a run together in that team, which is surprising with the depth they have, but with some of the injuries and whatnot, and he's kind of overtaken possibly Fernando in that midfield.
As long as he doesn't result in City losing on penalties, they'll love him.
A bit of a history there.
Well, I'm just saying, no, it was more of an English thing. They love him because he's English.
Yeah, no, you're right. But that being said, and I agree, I mean, they are probably the team to beat, but I don't expect them to win every week.
No.
In most years, I mean, not last year, actually, in fairness, but most years, there's at least one team you expect to win every single week, don't you? Mm. The way the year's going, like, it's wow, I mean, anything can happen. If City lose to Bournemouth, I'm not that stunned.
Yeah.
It's a surprise, but it's like, well, yeah, it's the way the year's going, right? So I think it makes for a really, really fun season. I hope it continues. It's quite possible City go on a tear and win, you know, 11 of the next 12 and put it to bed, or, you know, or even an Arsenal. Probably not then. But that being said, the rumors of Pep once again surfaced this past weekend.
And will not, you know, they're go going away. Nowhere.
Because he's out of contract, right, in the summertime as well. Do you think, is it fait accompli that Pep's going to be at City next year?
I don't know. I've thought about it a lot. I don't know if it's the right move for both sides, to be honest. I think that Pep doesn't, like, I mean, obviously it was a high-pressure job walking into Bayern, coming off of that treble winning year, but that just seemed like a situation that suited Pep. You know what I mean? Whereas this just seems different, because that's the expectation that the club has, that's the way that they've spent for multiple years, but they've never even come close to that, and they've never shown that they're capable, regardless of the you know, heavy, well-paid players that they have in the squad, that they're capable of competing on all fronts like that. So I just think it's a completely different situation. It's a team that resembles a side that he's managed before, but is still kind of well off of it. And I don't know how he would do in that scenario.
I think he could do with a break in many ways, because you look at Barcelona and Bayern Munich in particular, right? Mm-hmm. And both those clubs have these huge personalities at the top, former players, who are always chiming in with an opinion about something, right? And it drives him crazy. You go to City, the owners are quiet. They're not saying very much. And, I mean, there's no former legend. I mean, Sean Gota's not there, you know, commenting and criticizing their play, right? There isn't anyone like, you know, Franz Beckenbauer, for example, right? So maybe going into that situation where he is the man. He is now the big person.
Sean Wright Phillips is no rear shoulder.
I was just going to say, MLS offseason for him now, he might come across.
But there's no pain in the ass, right?
No, it's a really good point.
Him.
It'll be a really good point.
Be the top guy straight away.
Complete autonomy, get complete respect, make all the decisions. It does make sense. His odds are under even money. They're about 1-2 in some places for it. So obviously, take what you will from that. The bookies think that it's going to happen. He's the next City manager.
So he doesn't have to worry about Franz Beckenbauer chirping in Bild. But have you ever had sushi across the table from an angry Sheikh Mansour?
Oh, I can imagine.
Danny Mills can be pretty harsh, though.
It's a long flight to Abu Dhabi when the boss isn't happy with you.
I can see a theme now of obscure Man City players being thrown in there every now and again.
Yeah. We had a couple.
Terry Dunfield was
Terry Dunfield was, right? One.
Former Man City player, yeah.
But I can't remember the name of the gentleman, former captain, that came into the Fox show. He works
exactly
with City. It'll come to me if I pick up my phone.
Oh, with the trophy back at the old Fox show?
He came with the trophy.
Yeah, I wasn't there that day. Patrick Vieira. Wasn't Patrick Vieira?
Wasn't Patrick.
He's actually only 10-1 to be the next manager. He's the fourth choice.
Who? Patrick Vieira?
To be the next Man City manager.
Pep.
No, Patrick Vieira is fourth choice.
Okay, Pep's first.
Pep's even money, under even money, first choice.
Ancelotti's up there?
Ancelotti's the second choice.
Yeah.
Alejandro Sabella is third choice.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
Sheffield United player, too.
Really?
Good.
Interesting.
And then Vieira's fourth.
Hmm. Well, you know, he'll cut his teeth in MLS and come back a better man for it.
Hmm.
That's a topic for a different day. They're using MLS as their plaything and little minor league to, you know, get experience. I mean, how would you feel if you're a freaking New York fan? I don't know. It bugs me.
Yeah.
It really does.
To be honest, I think if you're a New York fan, you're in a dream scenario. Absolutely.
So?
Yeah. You have a team that plays in your beloved baseball team stadium, your short subway ride
up. Awful pitch.
But you have all this big money stars in this attraction. You're brand new to the league and you're one of the flagship clubs. And if you are, I think, one of those fans, because obviously the real divide, the Red Bulls had been established for 20 years. If you lived in Manhattan and you really loved soccer, you'd make the horrible trek out to Jersey. Or you'd at least watch them. Mm-hmm. Now you have a team in your backyard. It's kind of like when...
Still got to make the horrible trek to the Bronx.
Yeah, the train ride's not too bad. But you know, think of like when TFC started here and people thought, well, what am I going to do, give them my Premier League club? You know, for this scenario, I think for a lot of people there that maybe didn't have a Premier League affiliation. Yeah, now it's easy. There's 2-1 of the biggest spending teams in each market.
I suppose, but for the real fan, I mean, you can look at that team and in comes Patrick Vieira, who's learning his trade. And they've pretty much come out and said he's learning his trade.
Yeah.
So he can one day return to the big club, to the daddy club, the mummy club. Like, I don't know.
that really upset me. I'm a fan. And then at some point, you're going to see a lot of young kids probably loaned over, right? Guys who will be going back when they get good. It's frustrating, right? I mean, Vieira said when he got hired, he says, my team's going to play attacking, flowing, pretty football. They play in a school gym, basically, right? That's how big that field is, right? There's no space in that field.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know they're going to get a stadium at some point.
Yeah.
But, hey.
I hear your frustration. I mean, to, you know, take it full circle, like MLS, they want to be a top-tier league. And the players are starting to come earlier, and they're starting to get that. But until you sort out things like that, right, where they're playing in proper teams and they're not just a feeder team to this, and all of those things still kind of chalk up as minor league, right? And you're never going to really get there until those things are addressed. It is an issue that has to be done, but they've come on leaps and bounds. Like, I will give them credit for where they've gotten. It has
the league
been,
as a whole.
The league as a whole. Yeah. I mean, I think that they are getting there. Portland and Columbus in the final, just to go on a
subject. Not too sexy.
Not great. Not the ratings Columbus, bonanza though, that they were hoping for.
Everyone had New York walking into that final, right?
A couple exciting players. This is not Dallas, Colorado from a few years ago when it was in Toronto. Yeah. I mean, like, Darlington Nagby has been one of the best players to watch in MLS. And Kai Kamara, you know, couldn't cut it in the Premier League with a couple of tries, but, you know, he's a great player to watch, and he's dangerous all the time. Yeah. So at least it'll be exciting. It's not going to be like when it was -5 in Toronto and there was a collective groan amongst the remaining 13,000 left when the full-time whistle blew at 0-0. And my brother turns to me and goes, I've been more excited waiting for the bus. Extra time of a championship game, and his statement
so
is completely
cold,
valid.
My fingers were numb.
Were you in the press waiting area?
No, I was standing outside because I hate that press box, so I was standing outside in my go-to place. I could have gone inside, but I was in MLS Cup final, right? So
right, but I'm talking the what do they call it? It's the extra. It's like the camera person.
Basically,
off to the side there.
So windy, yeah.
Which it's basically the balcony to the press box for anyone who's been to BMO. And there's it's probably got the worst wind and air circulation of any corner in that stadium.
I think the only thing I remember about that, I think you're right. Me and KJ were there, and we were just, I think the big talking point was how great Dax McCarty was in that match.
He was really good.
It's like, wow. That's the highlight. That was a really crap game in that case.
The only thing for Toronto fans to get excited about was who's that former fullback that played for Colorado? He was
Marvell Wynn.
Marvell Wynn.
Get
there
in.
You go.
Yeah, Marvell Wynn, who's playing center half.
Hey, by the way, are we doing a quiz this year or what? That just reminded me of that.
He was center half though that day, wasn't he?
I think. He was center half that day. Yeah, I think he was.
Followed back in Marvell Wynn. This was a good interview, Marvell Wynn. I like
that.
Hey, when did they start doing the cup final, like, not at a neutral site?
A few years ago.
Just trying to...
I think it was...
The last couple of years, isn't it? It wasn't that many.
Because the Galaxy played at home last year, right?
I think the first year might have been our last year together, the score, yeah.
Really? Okay. Can't remember.
We're not about facts. Someone will tweet us.
Someone will let us know, I'm sure. Spurs 0, Chelsea 0, a match that Jose Mourinho says was the best Chelsea performance of all season. Wow,
that's a nil-nil,
right? Costa bench. Do you see the bib flip?
Yeah, of course.
There wasn't much to
it,
right?
The only thing they got in the show.
I mean, he's a petulant little prick. We know that, but he wasn't aiming for his boss. I don't think it was anti-Mourinho.
I don't know.
He was definitely aiming for him.
He tossed it.
But he knew he was
him.
On the bench for a few minutes by that point, at the very least, right? It's not like, I just found out, I'm not playing. Excuse you, Jose.
But I think the idea, well, that's not a person that's comfortable warming up and stretching for 22 minutes and not getting on.
No,
think,
you're right.
Right? Yeah. I mean, he has perma angry face as it is. So I
when you're his age, you know, you do get angry, aches and pains.
Yeah. 50.
Yeah. He's the poster child for like rub A535. It seems he looks it. Be the perfect face for it.
He's a guy in the room, like he's just slathering himself in the A535. It's like, oh my God, my eyes are stinging just sitting beside you. I was that guy.
Yeah.
Do you think that Jose is being honest when he says he's going to take the week and assess, and if his mind is right, well, then he's there? He's back in the side?
I don't believe a word that Jose ever says nowadays.
I just can't wait for the window to open so that Diego Costa can go and save Villa because
I thought he was going to. You told me he was going to United 10 minutes ago.
Oh, I did. Yeah. No, he's going to Villa.
Villa. Okay.
Yeah. Mm.
Right. Just wonder. Like the thing is, they don't have a ton of cover for him. I mean, you saw it over the weekend with Pedro's kind of playing up top. They don't really have anyone to cover for him, so they better sort this out. And what happened midweek? I didn't really see what they're referencing on the broadcast, oh, like a row midweek or whatever that these guys had. Like, I hadn't heard about it until, yeah, the Costa and Mourinho had a bit of a blow up
the week
before that. So, yeah. I heard that on the broadcast and I was like, okay, I hadn't seen what or heard about what that was. So, I think there was something there. Maybe they were just trying to build it up a bit more to make Bibgate something that
it wasn't. Is that what it is now?
I think so.
Yeah.
Anything's gate. Sure. You can call anything gate.
To me, a 5-year-old kid tossing his clothes away. I'm screwed. I'm not going to pick it up. Let someone else do it. One of the scum workers at this club pick up my mess because I'm the great Diego Costa. That's what he kind of showed me. Not that he was aiming it for me. He missed Mourinho, but given his form this year, I'm not surprised by that.
Hey-o.
Boom. It would have been great if it landed right on his head. It would have been.
See, Mikel was laughing.
Yeah.
Little shite disturber, Mikel, isn't he? I bet he is just a little shite disturber, just poking and prodding.
Wait till the story comes out on Tuesday. Diego Costa caught throwing darts at academy players from a second floor window.
Was that, who was that again? That was
Balotelli.
Was it Balotelli? Okay, but yeah. I think also Jody Morris did it way back when.
Remember him?
Yeah, I think it was darts.
I think there was another one. Two, now that I think about it. Maybe it wasn't darts,
definitely
though.
At Chelsea, though. And I think it was Jody Morris who did a number of stupid things. I think it was him that was throwing darts at youth team players. But Bello did something similar too, didn't he? Yeah, for sure.
Spurs, it's the kind of game, right? I think we talked about them last week. Are they title contenders? Can they actually be in it? And that's the kind of match that you have to win if you want to put yourselves in that spot. And they would have been right there. I mean, it's got to be frustrating for their fans. You have that opportunity. You could be 2 points back. They would have been ahead of Arsenal. They would have been into fourth place, 2 points off the top, and then just sit there and go, why couldn't we find that goal? Why can't we finish that match? Why can't we put all our good work that on a 13-match unbeaten run, but so many draws, it's tough. That's the kind of game you look back on, and they're not quite.
It's a step, right? I mean, they didn't lose the game. You're still playing Chelsea.
I guess so.
But they've been on that step since Harry was there.
Yeah. Yeah, fifth, sixth,
they're
fourth,
just
right?
They're just not that team. They can't capitalize on those opportunities, seldomly, let alone every time.
You look at the strides they've made under Pochettino this season, right? They're not going to get worse. They're a very, very young team. They're going to get better. And maybe they win that game in April or in March.
I know what you're saying.
I think
playing Chelsea,
a real threat
but...
in the fourth, top four. I mean, at this point, why they should be considered a contender because there's so many teams that at this point should be considered contenders. But I don't know. A different Spurs. I think Dembele was saying post-match how this team's a lot tougher than it has been in the past. In the past, they were a little bit soft, that underbelly, but they look a lot tougher, a lot more steel.
Yeah, I just, it concerns me when, Pochettino post-match is kind of, they're almost, I'm proud of my players and they're content with that. Yeah. You shouldn't be content with that.
You're at home.
You're at home. You're playing a Chelsea team that's been awful this season.
Yeah.
It's a chance to make your mark, and I think that they should be really disappointed with that. I think that you can't let that be okay if you want to get to the level that you ultimately want to reach. It's not good enough.
Then that shows that he actually knows where he's at. He's absolutely aware of where his team is. And I agree with you that you shouldn't be saying that because you should always be striving in whatever field you're in to be the best. And they're on the cusp of it. That's what the fans have been dying for. But he knows his situation, his position. And also, I think... managers like him know that Chelsea's record is not who Chelsea is. Yeah. Certainly not what they're capable of.
Missing Dele Alli this weekend as well, and that's a loss. I mean, he's been brilliant.
He's been really good.
Right? So, 58% possession for Spurs in that game. So that kind of speaks for itself as far as not being ruthless.
Coming off a trip to Carabag as well, a bit of a travel.
God, Thursday, Sunday.
God almighty. It's just brutal.
Every time I see the board for that Thursday coverage, I just laugh.
Yeah,
I just laugh. Nothing like a trip to Carabag.
Well, Arsenal may need to get used to that because they'll be going out of the Champions League pretty soon. Arsenal tied Norwich 1-1. Ozil, Graban. Ozil's been great. 11 assists, 2 goals in his last 12 Premier League games.
Is he stopped flying off to Paris or wherever the model is that was distracting him at Real?
Oh, that's right.
I
think there's a number of them, weren't there?
Yeah.
Well, they did fly. The team did fly to Norwich, though, speaking of.
They flew to Norwich?
Why did you hear about this?
Yeah, 14-minute flight.
Something that happened with the bus, right?
No, I think they just wanted to fly just for comfort's sake. 14-minute flight.
Yeah. Wow.
From Arsenal to Norwich, from London to Norwich to
That's kind of ridiculous.
Get the team there. people are like up in arms. People are like, oh, this is terrible for the environment. Rightly so. It's ridiculous.
Why you pay 105
and
pounds
cramming
for the cheapest seat.
Alexis Sanchez into a you know, economy seat. And he's going to get tight, right? And he's going to get injured.
They didn't fly Aer Lingus. Come on.
All week long is amazing.
Is that what
Ozo
was doing?
The foreshadow.
Sherman and Pitts.
Back to Ozo. Aer Lingus. I flew Aer Lingus once.
I did as well. And stereotypically enough, I walk on and the soundtrack to Once is playing. Did you see that movie, that play? It was this Irish rom-com big play set in Ireland. The soundtrack is playing when I walk on. And then at the end of the flight, they're collecting money for UNICEF for some well-doing charitable organization. And it's Liam Neeson demanding that you put your, and I quote.
If you don't pay, I don't know where you are, but I'll find you. I'll kill you.
I quote, stick your hand in your pocket. Whatever currency you have, it doesn't matter. Put it in the bag. That is the quote.
Really?
I couldn't believe it.
Most bugs me when airlines ask for money after you spent God knows how much money in a dumbass flight. And now give us more money for a charity. You can afford to pay the charities for us. Thank you very much. Well, you're charging me. Stupid airlines.
Every bag charities. Checked and
Yeah. Back to where the hell was I? Oh yeah, Sanchez, right? All week long we've been hearing these stories about him, man, he's gonna break down, he's gonna get hurt, and lo and behold, second half hamstring. Man, he plays a lot of football, doesn't he? And midweek he's playing against Dinamo and they're up 3-0 and he still plays the entire 90 minutes. And that's been written about a lot, but think about that, right? This guy's played so much football.
So
give
much.
Him a break.
Hurt himself on international duty with Chile. And the thing is too, it's like they go away for international duty, South American players. And it's not like they're going somewhere in Europe or it's close. I mean, they're going all the way home to South America.
In Aer Lingus.
And often playing at altitude, getting involved in some Aer Lingus on their nights off.
A lot of that. You
know, tough conditions.
But that would affect their communication on the field more than passing the ball, for example, right?
Sure. I don't know what you're talking about.
You know what, though?
Yes, you do.
No. We had this conversation about...
Are you trying to scream?
I had this conversation about Messi for years and said, you know, it's going to... When he breaks his leg playing a giant stadium in November for Argentina when they're playing Brazil in some cash grab friendly during the window that's benefiting European qualifying, that's when, the idea of these players playing so much is going to change. But look at how many managers he's had that have said he's that type of person that if he is able to walk... He has to play. Yeah. It is a detriment to him and to yourself if you remove him strategically because he just can't deal with not playing.
It's
and I think that Sanchez and a lot of guys are just bred that way. If they're able to move to what they think is good enough.
Then educate these players. And that's the manager's job.
Yeah.
To say, listen, I know you want to play.
It's not to the manager's advantage, though.
Maybe long term, but everyone thinks
short sighted. Football is such a short term game, right?
There's so many numbers and so much science today as far as guessing and predicting injury. They must have the numbers to back it up. Say, look, we've seen the way your gait's changed the last 2 weeks. You're susceptible now to a groin injury or a hammy or whatever it's going to be. Sure, they got the evidence.
But
Messi's Messi.
Right.
He never got hurt. Sanchez does occasionally get hurt. It's not like he's an Iron Man.
Messi was a China doll for years.
When he's younger, but that big stretch show during his still in his glory.
Once he stopped using, then he wasn't susceptible to every injury no one's ever seen.
Right.
Right?
No, sure. Don't know what you're talking about. What?
Steroids.
Oh, steroids. Sorry. I thought that's what you're alluding to.
Yeah.
He wasn't steroids. They were
growth.
Legalized.
Human growth.
Yeah.
Right?
As a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they...
That was awkward.
Well, just because you didn't get it. I think I didn't want to elaborate.
First, I thought, well, actually wasn't that great, so maybe I was missing something.
Yeah, I mean, it was a doubt all week, Sanchez, and then they said they passed fit, and it happens. I mean, it's just, it's tough to, I know what you're saying, like that they have to have control of these players and be tracking injuries and predict them, but it's so tough. I mean, anything can happen in these games. I mean, freak injuries can happen. He almost... got hurt going into that camera well. I don't know if you guys saw that, but that was right by the field. And he got a little push from Bennett, and he was lucky to avoid injury there. It could have easily been really bad, right? And that's the kind of thing on the field. Anything can happen at any time that you can't really sit here and say, well, if he didn't play this and that. I think that it's just dumb luck.
You can't take a guy off after 60 minutes against Dinamo Kiev.
Or Zagreb, that makes sense.
When you're up 3-0, you can do that.
Yeah, it makes sense. They've been decimated this year. I mean, I think that every regular for them has at some point been injured this year.
You said every year the same thing.
Yeah, no.
Right? It's not new.
I know.
Injury-prone players who we put so much faith in and doesn't, you know, go out and buy depth players because, well, no, because I got Jack Wilshere in the center of the park. I don't need anyone else. Yeah, Jack's played, seven and a half games the last 10 years.
Yeah.
It feels that way. Remember Jack Wilshere?
Yeah.
I forgot all about him until I was doing the research for the weekend. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Jack Wilshere. Oh,
the thing is, too, like, I mean, just because it's so close and other teams have been dropping points and they're still right there, but could look back on this kind of stretch as a huge missed opportunity for them down the road. I mean, drawing at home to Spurs, losing at West Brom, they have 2 points in these last three matches that they could have and should have potentially won them all. And if you do, you could be clear at the top a little bit, and all of a sudden now you're going to go into the winter period. They got Man City coming up on the 21st, which should be good. But, you know, the pressure is going to be so much more on them, and they could have been clear a little bit. And I think that they might reflect on that and just realize that you got to pick up those points when they're available to you and you know, drop the hammer sometimes. And they just don't have it in them at the most key of times.
Speaking of injuries, Liverpool beat Swansea 1-0. Sturridge came off the bench in that one. But last week, having missed the Europa League match, Sturridge, he was hammered by his manager, who said he's got to learn the difference between a serious injury and just being hurt. Right, that is a scathing indictment, I think, by Klopp on Sturridge, and a real message saying, listen, no one feels great. No one feels 100%. You've got to play through some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially saying you're soft. And that's been a bit of a tag on Sturridge for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But he was available, I guess, on Sunday, came off the bench in the 1-0 win. But I don't know. That's I wouldn't be surprised if Sturridge's days at Liverpool are numbered.
Which is pretty stunning when you think that how good he's been over his time there. But, you know, there was the whole thing with Brendan Rodgers in the England camp back in the day when he didn't really want him playing for England, and people questioned his loyalty or his desire to play. And, you know, when a guy like Klopp, who everyone respects, is calling you out for that, it is concerning. It does worry you about his long-term future there.
Because Klopp's done a really good job there so far. You know, they're winning games now. You know, there's still issues, but he hasn't had a chance to make this his team yet because he hasn't had one transfer window. There's going to be departures from that team and probably significant departures and new players coming in. So, you know, you look at a guy like Sturridge, might be one of those guys he can't rely on. And Klopp's kind of guy just seems to me that he wants to rely on players, a guy that I can go to no matter what.
Yeah.
Right?
Guys that he can trust.
He can trust, yeah. Right.
And
he can't trust them.
If after a few weeks of seeing him in training, he doesn't get that vibe from a somewhat healthy, partially injured Sturridge. And yeah, that doesn't bode well. I don't think he'll do very well in the Bundesliga when he's swapped for Aubameyang either.
That would be a pretty good deal. I'd take that.
Well, if you're Dortmund,
though?
How
many goals have you got now, Aubameyang?
I got to be honest, I don't see much Bundesliga replays on Sportsnet World.
Let me have a look here.
He's got some goals.
I thought we'd get more Bundesliga highlights in Sportsnet Central. You know that? I was looking forward to it, actually. I've done three all year.
Weekends are so busy with other...
This is true.
17 goals. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
Wow.
17.
Yet they're like 20 points behind Bayern still.
It's always
14 games.
Unbelievable.
14 games. That's Messi. Like... That's Ronaldo. Like, that's incredible. It is, though.
Yeah.
17 goals. That's Jamie Vardy.
I was just... took the words out of my mouth.
Very impressive. But the Reds won 1-0. Looked okay. Wasn't a great performance.
Yeah, that was a pretty bad match. But you got 3 points.
But Swansea went there to kill it off, right?
And yeah. Oh, absolutely. Did, yeah. It was just a negative
Swansea
match.
Much better than their record.
Yeah.
Can't score. It's 7 goals the last 10 games. Can't score. But
how unfair is it, though? I think we spoke about this a couple weeks ago. The criticism and the shift now on Gary Monk, you know,
it's brutal.
5 weeks into the season, we're talking about him being the next England boss, and now should they change horses in midstream? They're not going to get relegated. What's the expectation for them? That they should be contending for a European place?
They haven't spent much money,
but they're not close to. They're not in danger. They're just not playing.
They're in the mushy middle,
engaging
right?
football.
I mean, they
but this is Swansea.
I think they've won once since August, right? So there is some issues there.
So they're Villa.
They're always organized. Wow. Yeah. But it's how they're losing though, right?
No, they haven't won once since August, actually. Villa
smashed.
Haven't won since August.
Hey, opening match of the season is August. Don't take that away from Villa.
Yeah, but since August.
Since, right,
Swansea won once. All right. Yeah.
All right, let's stay in Villa then, shall we? Let's move on here. I lost to Watford 3-2.
God.
A bit of a comeback there.
Yeah.
We made a Jack
Finally
Grealish.
Scored.
Got thrown to the youth team for enjoying himself too much after the loss last week. I think it's all been blown out of proportion.
Do you?
And now, nowadays with camera phones, you know, you're going to be caught. But you've got to be smart about it. But
yeah.
It's not like he's doing anything that another 20-year-old making that money wouldn't be doing. Making that money, any 20-year-old, pretty much.
True, but I think when you see a team react with discipline like that, it's because they know that the player's head. Well, no, I was just going to say that the player's head. It's not one of those just hey, I'm young, it's a one time thing. It's that look at when Barcelona moved Ronaldinho simply to create this system for Messi, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They don't need to move players from Grealish, but they might want to put him up in a room somewhere just so he doesn't have the outside influences to go and take him out. But I think with him and the success that he had last season and the attention that he got, the England attention, the fact that he even had the opportunity to decide between the two and chose England instead, I mean, he grew up real fast in the football spotlight, but he hasn't really grown up, I think, as a person. That's what everyone says. So
he's got to be smarter about it. I just don't think what he was doing was that horrendous.
When he shows up with shin pads, you know he's changed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, socks up to his knees.
Pretty sad indictment on Villa, though, that Micah Richards calling him out for being soft, too easy to play against, you know, when they don't have the ball. And watched a lot of that game actually on the weekend.
Why?
I don't know. I just caught myself. Flip to that game when the City game was 2-0 and then 3-1. I just wanted to see what the hell was going on with that team.
Yeah.
And they played really well at 1-0 down. And when they equalized 1-1, it looked like they might go on and win it. And then just out of nowhere, the defense just looks so shaky. Hutton's own goal was ridiculous. And then even Deeney's goal, I think, said it all. I mean, the ball just balloons up in the air and Clark's going to back up. No one calls at him that someone's coming. And Deeney just wants it more and scores, and just think, God, this team has so much potential. They're so much better than what they're showing. And to have 2 points at home this year.
Are they, though, better than what they're showing? I mean,
on paper.
The last 3 years, right? 17th, 15th, 15th. It's been a slow descent.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I know what you're saying, because on paper, I mean, I didn't have them going down this year. I thought, no way. You know, they're probably in the middle of the pack. But at what point do you say, they're not better than what they're showing. They're just not very good.
They're just not very good. I mean, a new manager came in, got the point against Man City, but since that, they've conceded 7 goals. I mean, 4 to Everton, now 3 to Watford. I thought that was the kind of game where, okay, they're going to win this one. I thought Villa are going to win. They're going to take their stand. They're going to get that result at home. And it's just really becoming a huge mess. I mean, 7 points back of Sunderland in 17th now.
It's bad.
It's awful.
They remind me of, and looking at this match, a date with Watford in the week leading up, and I thought they're starting to feel like QPR a few years ago, where you kept saying, oh, they'll turn it around. I mean, Harry's got the players, like, they just need some luck. They've had absolutely no luck. But week after week after week, you look and you go, well, if they don't win this one, like, when are they going to take 3 points?
Yeah. Yep.
And against a newly promoted team who's playing incredibly better than you, if you can't hang with them, you're 2 goals down against them for a bulk of that match. And sure, they looked good in spurts, and they finally scored for Remy Gard, but
I think it's the worst start of any Premier League team in history.
Mm-hmm.
5 points. Mm-hmm. 14 games.
What is that?
No, it's not a top flight record.
Yeah.
No.
But it's a Premier League record.
Yeah. Bringing it full circle. They go to Southampton next, which is going to be obviously tough, and then they're home to Arsenal. So you see them pulling off one of those? Then they go to Newcastle. So there's a winnable game.
Newcastle,
yeah,
okay. Lose 5-1 to
Big
Palace.
Big 6-pointer.
Wow. I mean, I watched quite a bit of that game. And my God, they have quit. Yeah. 14 games. They have just given up.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. I feel so bad for Steve McClaren. I always have. Really unfairly treated back in his England days. But boy, they are just abysmal excuse for a football team.
That Bolasie goal. I mean, when you have that much time in the box and the ball's just kind of like sitting there and no defender decides to just hoof it out, Dummett looking around like Dummett, actually, and just like, what are they doing? It's embarrassing.
Bolasie was pretty amazing though, wasn't he? Man, he's a good player.
He's
been great.
He's fantastic. He's going to make a big move to a bigger club at some point, because he's dynamite. He's electric, and You know, they've got some good pieces there, but when you're playing Newcastle, anyone can look pretty good. I mean, Connor Wickham looked outstanding.
He was, I think he made Who Scored's match of the team of the weekend.
Really?
Mm. Yeah, like 8.43 or something, and they're usually pretty good Who Scored.
Mm.
So, yeah, that was something. All right, we're out of time, boys. Quickly to go over, to be at Bournemouth, Everton was a great game, by the way.
Oh, my God, that
amazing ending. Everton's switched off.
Love the pitch invasion. And and then you end up drawing.
Okay, yeah, good. Yeah. Everton, man, when they are playing with the ball, my God, they're fun to watch, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
They're really, that's really is Roberto Martinez football. Mm-hmm. And I almost said, wait till he gets a big job. This is a big job, and he's doing a great job. But they're one of those teams that's going to make it really interesting for that top four battle all year long. Sunderland beat Stoke 2-0.
Shame for Villa.
That's the only reason watching that. Big Sam's got him out of the job zone already, right? And West Ham tied West Brom 1-1. Ballon d'Or finalists, Messi, Ronaldo, and Neymar.
Neymar.
I think it's going to be Messi's this time. Yeah. No problem at all. He's won everything.
I think
year.
So too. I
think Copa America, obviously.
Neymar's played well in this season. This new season.
Do we
season.
Think this might be the last year where it's Messi or Ronaldo?
Yeah, well,
maybe
about,
it's going to be
Neymar's
next
be
year,
really
the passing of the torch.
Neymar and Jamie Vardy are really going to make a move.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, next year, Neymar, Suarez, and Vardy, the final. You
know, Darlington
so
Nagby,
Messi's going to win it, right?
One.
58 goals he scored this year, right? It's amazing. 2012, it was 91 goals he scored. Just think about that.
I mean, 91.
We watched it and we were amazed by it. But just think about that. 91 goals in a calendar year. Oof. And he's 58 and he's been brilliant. Ronaldo's got this year 61 goals. And he's been incredible. Mm-hmm. But 91 goals, 30 more.
That's
Ronaldo.
You know what the funny thing is that you look at the two and you say, you know, Ronaldo scored more goals. Real didn't take home the silverware. But there's just something about seeing like Messi kind of return to that level, his elite level, and you know, similar type seasons, albeit a 32 goal drop off in comparison, 33, whatever it is. There's just something about that resurgence that gives you that shift, and you go, oh, yeah, it's Messi's this year.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. It's funny, yeah. And with his numbers, people are saying, well, maybe, I mean, Suarez. People are saying Suarez should have got it this year. You know, he was great, and he was, or maybe Ronaldo should have got it, or Neymar. But if you remove Messi's name from that. Those numbers and put anyone else there, be like, well, of course, he won how many trophies and he scored 58 goals. It's because you expect it from Messi, and like I said, you compare it to 91. Oh, well, that's kind of an average Messi year. Come on, 58 goals.
Have you seen the Ronaldo movie?
No, I haven't.
There's one in the makeup room. It was a DVD.
Really?
It's like one of those producer sent ones. I can't figure out who. It's either Sid Six Arrows or yours.
It's not mine.
Okay, then I'm going to steal it.
Yeah?
Do you know that it's Sid's? You would know.
No idea.
It hasn't been sent because it's. I can't think of where else it would have come from.
Sid may have made his own Ronaldo movie, if you know what I'm saying. So I'll be careful if I was watching that, if I was you. Very careful indeed. Like, he's wearing a Ronaldo shirt, but that's not Ronaldo. Oh, God, Sid! Oh, horrible. Think about that.
No.
Flying Aerlingus. All right. Probably
a reaction is just... Yeah.
Probably end the show now.
Probably.
Or it denigrates itself even further.
All right.
All right, check out the website, weeksportsnet.ca. A ton of content, courtesy John Molinaro. And JMO and myself will be back on Thursday, I think, for the podcast. Apart from that, I guess watch Tim and Sid, right?
Sure.
They might at some point mention soccer, possibly.
We need some numbers.
When is Tid? When is Tim back?
Today?
Yeah, oh, really?
So
no more guests.
When were you hosting, by the way?
Yeah, are you kidding me? Yeah. Sid Sixera won't even play in a charity tournament with me. Sit next to me on television.
All right, so we're out of time. Hope you enjoyed that. Probably didn't. My apologies.